This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Ed DeRosa.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Thursday edition, or this Thursday's edition, of the Briznet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman sitting in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Action Ed DeRosa be on the line as well for your hour, HRRN Nation. The Briznet.com call-in show. Phone lines are open, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. Give us a call. Anything you'd like to ask, whether it's controversial or not, we will try to not dance around the subject. Talk about whatever you'd like. Lots going on in the racing business, not only last weekend, but this weekend. Really some major stakes days, not only around the country, but around North America. Last Saturday, of course, was Pacific Classic Day out at Del Mar. Last Sunday was Queen's Plate Day out up at Woodbine. This Saturday, marquee event at Saratoga, it's Travers Day. Lots to talk about. Anything you'd like. Let's go to PK in Orlando. PK, welcome to the Briznet.com call-in show.
Hey, what's happening, Bobby? What's happening, Ed?
How's it going, PK? What's on your mind?
It's great. I called you guys a couple weeks ago to let you know I was going to Arlington, and I did go to Arlington Millions Day, and what a fantastic day at that track.
So, have you been to Arlington before this trip?
I had never been, and I'm picking a track every year to go to, and you know, I was kind of waiting to make sure there was no COVID issues, but yeah, and I'm glad I went because everyone up there says the Bears are moving there. That's what's happening, they say, no matter what.
Well, I mean, that's what's being publicized, but from what I've read, it sounds like Churchill Downs Incorporated has received bids from numerous entities trying to get that land, and to my knowledge, we don't know who the highest bidder is, and we don't know, you know, if Churchill has a preference as to who they'd want to sell to. Obviously, it doesn't sound like they're interested in selling to anyone who has any horse racing or gaming aspirations. They don't want any competition for their Rivers Casino, which was only about 10 minutes away, not far from O'Hare. And they didn't even apply for a racing license for next year. So I would say it's a long shot. I mean, a long shot at best is probably putting it mildly, that they'll be racing there again after this year. The Bears have been the most publicized one, and the people I speak to in Chicago don't know if that's a reality or if that's more of a move from the Bears to try to get funding to keep them downtown. You know, you always worry about these things to think if there's an ulterior motive or not. I don't know if the Bears are going to go there or not, but let's focus on what you saw Arlington Million Day. You said you had never been to Arlington. I describe it as one of the most beautiful facilities in this country. Their racing obviously is not as good now as it used to be, but you got to see great racing on Arlington Million Day. What was your impression of the facility and just the ambiance of Arlington Park?
It was phenomenal, and I had pretty good seats. I one thing you had mentioned earlier about it, which is the absolute truth, there were no tickets on the ground. Like, I even told the two friends that came with me, I go, hey, you can't throw your tickets on the ground here. I don't understand why, but you just keep them. You take them to the machine and check, and then you put them in a trash can. It was immaculate, you know. And Luis Saez and Flavian Pratt flew in that day, and I was at the PDJF tent, and I was, instead of donating cash, because I needed all my cash for the windows, I gave them my debit card, and they're trying to run it. And the guy, his name is Javier Torres, he was working it. And he was like, well, do you want a shirt? And all I wanted was a koozie to keep my beers cold. But they were like, well, here, have a shirt. And I'm talking to Chelsea Bailey, who was at the tent and is a jockey. And I go, would you sign my shirt? And he goes, do you want some autographs? And I go, yeah. He runs down after the third race when I was there. He gets Flavian's and Luis Saez's autograph for me, and I'll never wear that shirt again. I mean, I won't even wear it. It's going in a picture board in my little horse racing part of my bar. But it was unbelievable. I can't thank the PDJF for what they do. Every time I'm in a track, if they're there, I'm throwing money at them, and I'm going to continue to do that. It was phenomenal. phenomenal day. And it was also my 54th birthday, so it's not a bad way to celebrate.
So the only other question I have for you, PK, is with all that going on, did you win money in your lone visit to Arlington?
You know, I hit a trifecta early, and then I rolled that into some pick threes, but I didn't hit the Mr. D's. I didn't hit the Beverly D's. I mean, there were some long shots in those that won them. So my plan was to pay for my airfare and my hotel while I was there. Needless to say, that did not happen. But still, it was a fun day. And but I did have one more thing I want to mention to you. That was the eighth at Saratoga today. So I have my bets in, and I'm listening to you guys on the radio. I pulled off the side of the road like Big A does, and I made a 7-4-1. Now, I'm using TVG, and I normally don't play straight try, but I had to get it in before it closed. I meant to bet it at 50 cents, but I didn't get to knock it down. And when you do that, it automatically goes at $2. I bet it at $2. It hit. And $185 later, I'm a pretty happy man right now. So today's been a good day. Great talking to you guys. Love listening to you. Appreciate your picks. And best luck to BA on the car, Big A on the recovery.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for your call, PK. Nice hit on the mistake there. Not the mistake on the handicapping, the mistake on the ticket punch. And that should help buy you a nice dinner on that Thursday night. Good story there from PK. And he said what Ed and I have said all along. If you hadn't gotten a chance to go to Arlington, they've only got about a month left in their meet. It still is one of the most beautiful racetracks that you'll ever visit. The racing isn't quite the same now, caliber-wise, as it's been in years past. Obviously, Arlington Million Day, or Mr. D-Way, whatever you'd like to call it, was the exception to the rule, but still a beautiful place. Sounds like PK had a great time, and glad he enjoyed it. Before we take our first break, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Veteran rider Parker earns Mike Venezia Memorial Award. Parker will be recognized in a September 2nd ceremony at Saratoga Racecourse. New York Racing Association announced August 26th that veteran jockey Deshaun Parker is the winner of the 2021 Mike Venezia Memorial Award. Parker, currently based at Indiana Grand Racing and Casino, was chosen in ballots cast by more than 350 professional jockeys at North American tracks. He outpolled a distinguished group of finalists, including Junior Alvarado, Julian Leperoux, Scott Stevens, and Gerard Melanson, who will be recognized in a ceremony September 2nd at Saratoga. Created in 1989, the Mike Venezia Memorial Award is awarded to a jockey who displays the extraordinary sportsmanship and citizenship that personified Venezia, who died as a result of injury suffered in a spill back in 1988. Venezia, a native of Brooklyn, New York, won more than 2,300 races during his 25-year career. Parker said, "It's just an honor to be on the ballot for this award. It's extra special that my fellow riders are the ones who made the selection. I take a lot of pride in being a role model both on and off the track. I will cherish this award." That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through BloodHorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winners section, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, monthly credit on EquineLine.com for pedigrees, race, and produce records, and more. That's the Blood Horse Plus, the all-new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. Congratulations to Deshaun Parker. Sounds like a very deserving recipient of this year's Mike Venezia Award. Let's go back to the phones. Jeff in Chicago, welcome to the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Hey there. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, just to echo what the last caller said, I'm native Chicagoan, and Arlington is absolutely beautiful, and it's really a shame what's happening, and you summarize things well. I have made a personal decision to not spend time at Rivers Casino, but that's a decision that everyone will have to make for themselves. But my question actually has to do with track bias and just helping me to understand a little bit more. I'm not on the racetrack. I'm a gambler. I don't know, I haven't ridden horses, anything like that. I know that right now there's a bias on the turf at Del Mar that seems to be fairly pronounced for closers. And And that seems to be somewhat well known over the course of this meet, and people have adjusted in terms of their handicapping. But my question is, how does something like that happen? And what are the circumstances in a dirt speed race, a sprint race? I could kind of understand, you know, if somebody, if there's a front runner bias, that kind of makes sense to me. But what are the logistics about how there could be a bias for closers on the turf?
Well, thanks for your call, Jeff. So my best way of answering that is it's very similar to the main track, and it could have a lot to do with, you know, on the main track, how it's tilled and the tiller goes through and which parts of the track are deeper. Same thing can be said for how much moisture is on the turf or how heavy the grass is at different parts of the turf. You know, theoretically, you'd like to think that the grass is all cut to the same length, and that when it gets rain or when they water the turf course, because they don't get a lot of rain, obviously, this time of year out at Del Mar, so they have to use sprinklers to water the turf or a water truck, that it would, you know, that it's watered evenly and that it drains evenly. But that's not always the case. And, you know, hypothetically, if the water drains down toward the inside of the turf course, it would make the turf course a little boggier. And even though it's not soft or good or yielding, it may be not as firm as the outer paths. And when you think about horses closing, more often than not, horses are closing on the outside. Yes, you do have horses who slip through on the fence and can get going. But let's hypothetically say that there's a little bit more moisture on the inner part of the turf, lanes 1 and 2, than there are in lanes 3, 4, and 5. The horses who are in front almost always are on the inside part of the turf. So if they're expending more energy down there than the horses who are coming wide and coming from the back of the pack, they're going to have less left at the top of the stretch. Hence these closers who maybe couldn't be down on the inside or maybe wheeled outside for the drive, they're going to have a big advantage. So although I don't think that superintendents are intentionally cutting the grass differently on the inside than the outside, and I'm being honest with this. I don't think that happens. If it does, it's a complete mistake. It could be in the way things drain. It could be in how much they've watered the course. That maybe part of the course is a little bit heavier in some places than others. And obviously, you know, and conversely, if things drain evenly, then you may see the speed horses doing well and the shortest way around being down on the inside, and that's why they'd hang on. So that would be my best guess for the turf racing, especially when it comes to Del Mar. And you know what? Just because you notice closers winning 1 week doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a closing bias for the entire meet. Now, maybe that's been that way this meet, and maybe the way they're watering it or the time they're watering the course really affects the, you know, that inside part of the course. But that's my best guess on that, Jeff, and it's good to pick up on that. Hopefully it didn't take you the whole meet to see that the closers are doing well, because obviously if you can pick that up early on in a meet, whether it's at Del Mar or at Saratoga or Churchill Downs or wherever, you're going to have an advantage over some of the other gamblers, and knowing that, you know, hey, when it comes, push comes to shove, if I'm deciding between two or three horses as my key in this race, maybe the one I want that's rallying, that I think is going to be rallying wide, is the way I want to go in this spot. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more here on the Bristnet.com calling show. By the way, interesting note, not only is it a big day at Saratoga this Saturday with Travers Day, what a big day it's going to be Sunday at Del Mar. Yes, it's just a $100,000 stake for three-year-olds. It's the shared belief, but it's the return of the Kentucky Derby winner. And he still is the Kentucky Derby winner as of now. Medina Spirit comes back to the races. He runs Sunday at Del Mar. Lots to talk about. Phone lines are open. You're listening to the Bristnet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? then BristNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BristNet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BristNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BristNet.com/APR. The BristNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BristNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BristNet is the handicapper's edge.
Mark your calendars for the biggest night of racing in Charlestown history. It's the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th. This spectacular card features 9 stakes races and over $2 million in purses, plus $100,000 guarantees in the late Pick 4 and Pick 5, and a mandatory payout in the Jackpot Pick 6. It's the Charlestown Classic in Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. We leave no warrior behind. Wounded Warrior Project is a nonprofit organization created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war. Whether those scars are physical or mental, we're here to make sure that they heal. And whether it's helping those with post-traumatic stress disorder live a normal life again, or giving much-needed support to injured warriors and veterans hospitals. Because no one deserves our help more than the men and women who risk their lives to keep us safe. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Join HRRN every Saturday morning for the Equine Forum in its new three-hour format. Mike Pena will bring you interviews with the biggest names in thoroughbred racing, as well as new features like In the Room with Sean Clancy, Unsung Heroes, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, and more. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, on Sirius 219 XM 201, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman here filling in for the Big A, Anthony Stabile, efforting to get Action Ed DeRosa on the line. He may be traveling around. Lots going on, lots to discuss in this racing, on and off the racetrack, but we'll stick with what's on the racetrack now because there's been a lot of excitement over the last week or so. We had a fantastic card at Del Mar last Saturday with the highlight of their meet, Pacific Classic. Hey, listen, I know it's technically the highlight of the meet. Opening day is the highlight of the meet every summer at Del Mar. It's always the biggest day of the meet. I know they don't have the biggest race that day. The feature is the Oceanside Stake. For many, many years, it was a race that was split into two divisions. Pacific Classic is by far the biggest race of the meet, and it's been a gigantic success in the 30 years since they've been running the Pacific Classic. Interested to hear your thoughts on this year's Pacific Classic. Tripoli won the race for trainer John Sadler. He was really not on my radar going into the Pacific Classic. I come out of the race thinking, if that's the best that Southern California has to offer in the handicap division this year, I don't think horses like Nix Go and Mystic Guide and Essential Quality and Happy Saver really have a whole lot to worry about as far as what they're going to face from the local contingent in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Tripoli is a nice horse. I thought he was more of an allowance caliber horse going into the race. He was actually only 6-1 at off odds, which tells you that The horses he was running against were really not the best that we've ever seen in Southern California. And most of the ones that I thought were the big contenders really just never ran a step. Dr. Post ran third, a very strange race for Dr. Post, who didn't show any speed and looked like he was not handling the track at all, dropped back to last like he almost was going to be pulled up out of the race, and re-rallied to pass everyone and finish third while not even close to the top two, Tis a Magician and Tripoli down the stretch. Of course, Sunday was the Queen's Plate, the biggest race of the year up at Woodbine, and Irad Ortiz coming away with the win for trainer Phil Serpy. We've got the Travers this Saturday at Saratoga, and a very interesting edition of the Shared Belief this Sunday at Del Mar. So lots to talk about. We'll go back to the phone lines. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the Bristnet.com call-in show.
Bobby, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Good, good. I've been calling this show for years, and I've heard you for, you know, years on, you know, the show and the afternoon that precedes this. And I want to tell you, and I love the Big A, but it's kind of in his absence that I've really learned to appreciate, A, the history you know of the racetracks, B, I guess the 1950s, 60s, 70s romanticism you bring back to the racetracks, like the dudes that would go, you know, to Hialeah and watch it. You talk with that perspective. And, you know, I'm 52, but I think the people that are 22 that listen to this show, and Lord knows there's not enough of them in our sport, they could really gain a lot by listening to you and look at this sport as an older person would, that it's an event, not just this high-tech world of look at our phones and instant gratification. I want to tell you that before I preface this call, Bobby. I do want to tell you that.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I have something to go on that, you know, after your question, if you have a question, because I have something to say about that, but I appreciate everything you're saying, and I've actually been thinking about this for a while, so go ahead. I'll end the call after you're done and tell you what I'm thinking.
Okay, I've just got a few quick comments. I was waiting for you to kind of talk about the thing, because I didn't want to be the one to bring it up, because I get told by everybody I'm anti-West Coast. But Tripoli with a jockey who was 1-for-53 at the meet, and like you said, if that's the best they have on the West Coast, the way they built up some of these other horses, I as much as I think Essential Quality is a great horse, I just don't know anybody's going to, you know, roll with Nick's Go, you know, if he gets to the front and, you know, the way that Speed's been playing at the track, and I know obviously it's a long way away. I think we talk about Medina Spirit coming back. I throw out the whole discussion of what Baffert did or did not do or has done 30 times before or what this horse has done. I truly think when you bring a Derby winner back for this kind of a card, now look, I understand Derby winners before might have been hurt and didn't run again, like Country House and horses like that. But to some extent, if you're a Derby winner, you're a champion. And I just think you need to run a little bit more of a schedule, you know, later in the year to let the fans appreciate you being that Derby winner. I gained a whole lot more respect for Mind That Bird after his races, after the Derby, when he went out and didn't get embarrassed in the Preakness, didn't get embarrassed in other races that he did. While he didn't win, he didn't do that. I just don't see, you know, Medina Spirit, they work him one time in a month and a half. I don't get that. I don't see how that's good for the sport, and I definitely don't see how that's good for California racing at all. Changing gears. This card Saturday at Saratoga, it's one of those things that when you open up the past performances and you start to just look at the names that are in the races, and you almost as a kid try to fight, wait a minute, which race do I want to handicap first? Not from a gambling perspective, but just for the absolute fun of it, like a 12-year-old that gets dad's racing form, you know, when dad might fall asleep and you take it off the coffee table and sneak in your room and kind of handicap it. That's really how I feel giddily about this. Giddily's a word. Giddy in the adverb to describe it about this card on Saturday at Saratoga. And one last thought about Arlington, and then I will let it go. You know, I'm so glad that at least people are getting there to see the racetrack that might not have seen it. I'm from downstate Illinois, used to go up there a couple of times a year at least, not counting when my father would occasionally run horses there. But I do think that if Churchill Downs wanted to try and extend a little bit of an olive branch to the fans, to the horsemen, to everybody, why can't they have one day next year? And, you know, maybe it's even Oaks Day. Maybe it's the Thursday before. Maybe it's the Sunday after Derby. I would just think they always made a big deal that they wanted to have, obviously, those cards there and start the meet so they could get the Derby, people betting the Derby handle at that racetrack. Why can't they have one last day where they bring all stars out, they pay homage to old trainers, to old, you know, bring Renee Douglas out one time for the fans, bring Bonnie the Bugler, but also put four or five really good races, try and draw people in and have one last hurrah for that racetrack, you know, to make that thing a go. Let people come and see it, let them in for free, let them get their last pictures there by the, you know, the picture of John, the sculpture of John Henry and all of that. Bobby, I know I've rambled on way too long and way too many thoughts, and I do want to listen to what you say about what I said. But, you know, guys like you and your age make the sport for what it is, and sports need to go back to what they are. I was driving in the car last night, and unfortunately, I know you're a Dodger fan, and they did win the game. But my goodness, listening to the last six innings of that fiasco last night, I've never heard of a pitching staff have an in-game no-hitter before and putting guys on second and not being able to score and literally teams going 4 and 5 hours without a hit. And if that's what sports have to offer, why can't we, the racetracks, the industry, put a push together and bring more fans to this sport? Because I think our races are getting more exciting because of the talent, not less exciting as baseball and football and basketball are. I've said a lot, probably way too much, but you're easy to talk to, and I enjoy it. You and the Big A are perfect hosts for the show. Good evening, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Tom. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What did you say? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, let me try to hit on these things real quick, not necessarily in the right order. As far as Arlington goes, then putting on one last day, I think that's basically what this Arlington Million or quote-unquote Mr. D-Day was this year. That was the last signature day. This time next year, I mean, that building could be razed by then. Who knows who's going to be owning that land by then. So I think that was the big day. As far as handicapping, you know, being excited about handicapping this Saturday card at Saratoga, I agree with you. It's where do you start? It's a who's who of races. Interesting to note, so you've got Gamine running for Bob Baffert, who will be heavily favored in the Ballerina. She's faster than them. She may be the lone speed in the race, and she's very logical in the spot. Doesn't mean she has to win, but she's in there. You've got Medina Spirit running Sunday for Bob Baffert, the Derby winner, at least as of now, for Baffert. Any chance either of these two runners gets booed when they come on the track, especially Medina Spirit? You don't hear the folks at Del Mar booing horses very often. In fact, I can't remember a time I heard them boo. Maybe when Cigar got beat in the Pacific Classic, they may have booed the winner of the race. But I wonder what kind of reaction, especially Medina Spirit, will get Sunday at Del Mar. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a homework assignment, Tom, and for everyone out there, something to think about. We've got Lou in Toronto on the line. I'll get to you in just a moment, Lou. This was something I wanted to bring up with the Big A. He's big on Twitter, so I was going to have him put it out. Something that you remember, a good memory you have in racing, not necessarily a horse winning or something like that, but something from when you were younger that brings back a good memory that you wish they still did in racing right now. And I'm going to give you a couple of them to think about. Number one, they used to have pick six cards. I know they had them out in Southern California. I'm pretty sure they had them in New York. Cards where you would get them, actual physical cards, and you would mark your selections. And instead of having to punch in numbers, you know, 4, 7, 8 with 2, 4, 6, 8, you'd slip the card into the machine. It would read the selections and spit out your pick six ticket. You could even put alternates on there. Pretty sure they don't have that anymore, but when I was growing up, they had pick six cards you could fill out, and it's something they don't do. Another thing they had out in Southern California, don't know if they do it anymore, St. Patrick's Day every year at Santa Anita, the fountains would be dyed green, meaning the water would be green, and they would have the $1 million St. Paddy's pitch on the main track, a horseshoe throw, where if you were drawn, if your name was drawn, you got to go and try to throw a horseshoe, and if you got a ringer, you got $1 million. I don't know if they do that anymore. I don't think they do. That was something I remember growing up. And even this, Hollywood Park, we used to run every Thanksgiving Day. With your paid admission, clubhouse, grandstand, didn't matter, you got a free turkey dinner. Now, I never ate the turkey dinner at Hollywood Park, but it was amazing how many people would show up for the free turkey dinner with your $2.50 paid admission. They had lines, you know, hundreds of people in line to get turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and whatever. Those are just some of the things, like memories that I have growing up in racing that I wish tracks would still do, but it seems like they've kind of gone the way of the dodo. I'd be interested to hear what things you remember from your childhood that you wish were still there. And don't say, and I'm not, don't say things like, well, I liked it better when less horses got hurt. And we all want that. I'm talking about specific things from your childhood or at certain racetracks that you saw. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lou in Toronto, thanks for calling.
Hey, Bobby, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Were you up at Woodbine for the Queen's Plate?
Yes, I was. I'm getting chills as we speak. It was been a long time of seeing live racing. I'll tell you, it was phenomenal. Woodbine Entertainment put on a show. The Champions Lounge I was at with an owner, a friend of mine, had tickets, and it was four-course meal. It was champagne. It was unbelievable. It was a thrill just to be, you know, going back to live racing. We had a great time, and the fields were amazing, just so tight. They were running around like bumblebee racing, you know. They were all in packs coming into the stretch, and you didn't know who was going to, you know, finish. And it was just 35,000 people they had. It was just wonderful. So I want to bring props out to Woodbine. It's too bad you couldn't make it this year, Bob. It was something else to see.
Yeah, I'm really jealous because usually HRRN is there for live coverage of the Queen's Plate, and we were set to go last year, but of course with COVID and everything, we couldn't go. And then it was kind of, we didn't know when it was going to be this year, and by the time it was scheduled, it was a little bit too late in the game. So I'm really crossing my fingers that next year things are more back to normal, and you know, we get on the schedule early enough and we get to go up there, because I have not been to Woodbine since the late 1990s, so well before there was a casino, everything, but it was a phenomenal place to go back then, and I'm looking forward to getting back after about 25 years.
You know, you won't even, the turf course, they baby that thing like unbelievable. You know, it's just gorgeous. But, the old school Woodbine was the old hamburgers I used to have as a kid, and used to have the onions put on top of them, and my dad used to say, you know, he's just, you know, make a joke about, you know what. And I used to say, no, it's not, you know, it's mystery meat, you know, it's mystery meat. So, but, yeah, they don't do those things anymore. And like you said, we had a great time, but, yeah. So, I want to say, good luck with your Dodgers. I took the Giants to win the West and the pennant. So, I have some skin in the game, and, I didn't know you were a Dodger fan. So that's pretty cool.
Well, thanks for your call, Lou. Yeah, I'm originally from Los Angeles, lifelong Dodger fan. Family had season tickets for many, many years. I can tell you this. First of all, I like your bet on the Giants. They just never lose. They never lose. They're way better than any of us thought they would be. And as much as I'm rooting for them to lose, you know, I'm not rooting directly against you, Lou, but I kind of am rooting against you. But the truth of the matter is they're just a really good team, and the Dodgers have their work cut out for them to catch them, because it's hard to catch a team that just never loses, and that's what the Giants are. To tell you how big of a Dodger fan I am, before we go to break, when I was in college, my dad made me the offer. He said, son, it was 1988. You can either come home for the playoffs, or you can gamble and that they'll make the World Series and come home and go to a game of the World Series. Well, I'm a gambler. I'm going to take a chance that they go to the World Series. And thankfully, they beat the Mets and made it to the World Series against Oakland. And I'm at game one of the 1988 World Series with my dad. And as like typical LA fans, we left in the eighth inning. with the Dodgers trailing to go meet my mom and my sister for dinner somewhere, and we were driving down Sunset Boulevard when Kirk Gibson hit the home run. So I am the rare person who can say I was at the game and did not see the Kirk Gibson home run. That is a 100% truthful story. We left early, being the typical LA fans that we are. Didn't stay even to the end of Game 1 of the World Series. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more calls right here on the Brisnet.com call-in show. You're listening to HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Thoroughbred Charities of America raises and distributes funding to approved nonprofits that help thoroughbreds and the people who care for them. TCA's annual grants support aftercare and incentive programs, health and human service initiatives for backstretch and farm workers, and equine-assisted therapy programs that utilize thoroughbreds. TCA is one, helping many. Please support TCA today at tca.org.
A gentle breeze blows across your face as you take a refreshing sip of water, appreciating the stillness of another morning fishing on the lake. The distant gurgle of a stream reminds you of days spent playing in the creek, the cool, clear water rushing between your toes. You love this time with nature, the feeling of putting everything on hold to connect with the world around you. Now, imagine it's all gone. No fish, no lake, no water. One of life's most vital resources, irreplaceably depleted. Time is running out to protect fresh water, and without our love, it can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our fresh water. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hey, this is Sean Clancy. This Saturday on the Equine Forum, I go in the room with jockey David Flores. We talk about what makes a 53-year-old retired jockey come back and ride a race at Saratoga. We talk about what it was like to ride the one and only Zenyatta. We talk about the rough and tumble days at Agua Caliente. Tune in to hear all of that and more.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Past the quarter pole and turning for home. Life is good. No challenge from anyone. Medina Spirit trying hard in second. He's four lengths behind. And then it's Parnelli in third. They're coming to the 16th pole. And it's Life is Good, still with a four-length lead, galloping without any urging from Mike Smith. Medina Spirit trying very hard and is closing that gap late. Life is good. Medina Spirit, a solid effort. Life is good wins. Three quarters of a length. Medina Spirit was second. Then it was Parnelli third in front of Wasperant and Uncle Boogie.
Frank Miramati on the call of this year's Grade 3 Sham Stakes, won in wire-to-wire fashion by Life is Good. He beat Medina Spirit by three quarters of a length that day. He'd go on to beat Medina Spirit by eight lengths in the San Felipe in its next start. We haven't seen him since. At one point, he was the de facto favorite for the Kentucky Derby. He makes his return to the racetrack, this time for trainer Todd Pletcher, and he is 8-5 on the morning line, second choice behind Jackie's Warrior in the Grade 1 Alan Jerkins Memorial, 7 furlongs this Saturday at Saratoga. Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show. Back to the phones we go. Race in New York. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bobby. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Race?
I'm doing good. I'm caught in traffic on the Belt Parkway, also known as the Brooklyn Riviera. Anthony would know what I'm talking about.
How far away are you from Belmont Park?
I'm just driving by it right now. I'm like 100 yards away.
All right. Well, I'm sure Belmont Park is not nearly as busy today for off-track wagering as it will be this Saturday for the Travers Day. Have you ever been up to Saratoga for the Travers card?
I have. It's crazy up there. It's packed. But I want to tell you my story. I got a good story for you.
I'm ready.
Back in the 90s. All right. Back in the 90s, Monmouth used to go on, you know, the sports talk radio and promote it with all these commercials. So one day we found out that there was a boat that went from Manhattan to the Brooklyn Navy Yard to the Jersey Shore, where you'd get a bus and then you would go to Monmouth. So me and my three buddies, we said, yeah, let's go try it. It was $20. So if we went by car, if we were lucky, it would take us an hour and a half to get to Monmouth. And then if we were unlucky, we could get caught in, you know, the beach traffic. It could take 3-4 hours to get home. So we said, let's try it. So we get on the boat, and there's a bunch of old-timers on there. And they're and one of them is going, yeah, I bought my swimming trunks. I'm going swimming because there's a delay when we come back to get the boat. So anyway, we go. It's a great boat ride to the Jersey Shore. So now we're coming back on the bus to the dock. And the guy goes, yeah, I changed into my swimming trunks. He's going into the lagoon and doing laps. So meanwhile, we're getting on the boat. All of a sudden, we realize the boat is getting pulled away, and this guy is not doing anything. So we don't know what to do. We're in our mid-20s. We're cracking up laughing. All of a sudden, the guy starts going, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Now, we went all the way back to Brooklyn. We waited until the parking lot cleared out, and there's this one little lady going, where's my husband? And we didn't have the heart to tell her. But the good news to the story is the next week we went to Belmont Park and the guy was there.
Well, the good news for him is it probably didn't involve much swimming on the way to Belmont Park like it did on the way to Monmouth.
No.
So is this something that doesn't exist anymore, this boat that can take you right to Monmouth?
That's why I'm bringing it up. They had it in the late 90s. It didn't drop you right at Monmouth. It dropped you off at a bus, and it was a 10-minute bus ride. And it was it was unbelievable, especially going back to Brooklyn. You could see the whole harbor, the whole city, for $20. And listen to this, for $20, you got the boat ride, a racing form, and admission to the track. Why they don't do it or they discontinued it, I have no idea. It was unbelievable. What a deal. What a great trip.
Well, not to mention, and thanks for your call, Race. Not to mention, it's a great time to and from. And I have a similar story to that out on the West Coast, but I think they still do this. So Amtrak has a train station in Del Mar, and you could take what would be, I think it was called the Pacific, the Pacific Liner, or the Super Pacific, or whatever they call the route, right from downtown L.A., all the way to Del Mar. In fact, if you're at Del Mar, or sometimes if you're watching the video, you can see the train go by. The train track is between the clubhouse turn and where you see the beach there. And they used to have $24 round trip from downtown L.A., which, if there's no traffic, is 2 hours from Del Mar each direction. And there's never no traffic, by the way. Never no traffic. So it was $17 going, $7 coming back. The entire train going down there would be wall-to-wall racing forms, people studying and whatever. And the train would drop you at the station at Del Mar. Then you'd get on a double-decker bus and take the five-minute ride from the Del Mar station, you know, up to Del Mar, and it would drop you at the gate. Now, it didn't include admission or program or anything like that because it was an Amtrak deal. It wasn't a Del Mar deal, but that's what they had. And then you'd get on the train going back home, and everyone going back is just getting blitzed on the train, and they're having a great time, and there's, you know, the beer, the booze is flowing, and, you know, everyone's making friends with everyone else. And it was a great thing. And, you know, first of all, you didn't have to worry about driving your car down there or dealing with traffic or paying for gas. And $24 is really not that big of a deal. Now, sadly, I've checked into it, and like everything else in life, the price has gone up a little bit. I think it may be closer to $60 each way right now, going from downtown LA to Del Mar, which in the grand scheme of things, avoiding traffic, and, you know, it's a 2 hour drive that on bad days could end up being a 4 hour drive each direction. I'm not exaggerating this. Those of you who have been out to Southern California know what a nightmare it is just driving, and not even just during the daytime. You just 9 o'clock at night on the 405, five lanes in each direction, and somehow going slow, and you're just thinking, what in the heck is going on? And then you come around a bend, there's no accident or anything, all of a sudden it starts flowing, and you're thinking to yourself, were there five people across the track at one point today that all decided to start going about 28 miles an hour that have decided to slow it down for everyone? It makes no sense to me, but I digress. You know, the price of the ticket, the route still exists. It's the same premise as what you were saying, Race, for the boat from Manhattan down to the Jersey Shore, but this is a train. It still exists. It's a little bit more money. Same kind of a thing. Lots of fun. Once again, the phone lines are open, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-HRRN. We're going to take one last break, come back with our final segment. Going to look a little bit more at this race Sunday at Del Mar. It's the shared belief, and it came up super interesting for a $100,000 stake. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at BrisNet.com/APR. The BrisNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit BrisNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrisNet is the handicapper's edge.
Mark your calendars for the biggest night of racing in Charlestown history. It's the Grade 2 Charlestown Classic and Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th. This spectacular card features 9 stakes races and over $2 million in purses, plus $100,000 guarantees in the late Pick 4 and Pick 5, and a mandatory payout in the Jackpot Pick 6. It's the Charlestown Classic in Charlestown Oaks on Friday, August 27th, here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
I want to be a teacher because they know a lot of awesome stuff. I'll stand in front of the class and make sure everyone knows what I know.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a teacher, my favorite subject will be recess.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrizNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Final segment of this week's BrizNet.com call-in show. Go straight out to the phone lines. Paul in Connecticut, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bobby. I'm 63, so I'm going to try to contextually give you perspective on this. When I was in my heyday of going to the track live in the 80s, Frank DeFrancis came in there, and you'll know this. He ran a very good operation. He started getting allowance horses that were high quality. I remember they had a 44K purse allowance race in the middle of that era, and Lucas Shipton. And he did a lot of those promotions, like there was the Thanksgiving pie. I mean, I had a table, 8-piece dinnerware set, you know, things that were fun. And I reflected on this time and again, and I cross-referenced it with my experience at Saratoga, which is, my friends call it the Mecca, right? Now, Saratoga is 40 days. It used to be 24. It's a big deal. This year, I think they have two promotions. But the whole purpose of the promotion at Laurel was not even like the scheme. Saratoga, it's more like games. It's more like we're going to run this promotion. People wait. It's a different thing. At Laurel, it was fun. It was truly like what you were describing on the bus and maybe that fella at Arlington. And it was almost like, and I'm going to say this in a good way, I've talked to my buddy about it who's not a horse racing guy. Growing up, the carnival was fun. The whole idea of the difference between sports gambling, in my opinion, and horse racing, handicapping, and investing, if you call it that, is extremely similar to a fun time where there's camaraderie. And I find it difficult, in summation, to believe that you'll ever get people to enjoy horse racing like I'm describing relative to sports betting, which is, you know, growing like a machine, right? So these people who are sports bettors, I always get in arguments with them. And I make this clear. I say, I know the takeouts to the penny. I know the takeouts. I know the VIG with bookies. I know all of it. But you're not really having a great time. You're just gambling, and the whole idea is in horse racing, there's four or five variables, the jockey, the trainer, the horse, the numbers, the variables of distance, and nobody's getting into it anymore. And I keep challenging myself with my friends and people like you, what is going to happen if the $12 billion goes to $5 billion, and then is it going to just go to smithereens? That's the first point. The second point is, in regard to, I bet a lot of Del Mar and a lot of New York, and I watch a lot of New York. And I have to tell you that I worked at Saratoga at times, and I met one guy who has horses with Chad Brown, and it's amazing. I believe he is, not including the European trainers, far and away the most dominant turf trainer I have ever seen in my life, and I'm not bringing Frankel into the equation in that era. But if you're taking horses that were purchased for small sums in Europe and you're training them to relax and make that big move, and this is what this owner said, who I think was fairly wealthy, would you tend to agree on the first point that it was more fun, obviously? But on the second point, I got that right. Is he the best by far turf trainer in the United States?
Well, Paul, first of all, thanks for your call. I'll answer both of them. Yes, he is by far the most dominating turf trainer in the United States. I think that is indisputable right now, and it's been for several years that way. In our lifetime, I'm trying to think of who would be close. You mentioned Bobby Frankel. Charlie Whittingham, who is a guy that I worked for in the late 80s, early 90s, was fantastic, not only on turf, on dirt as well, but maybe more known for his turf runners at the time. But yes, Chad Brown has been, you know, what he's done has been phenomenal. He does win dirt races, but he's just, it seems like every stake that's any stake in the country that's on the turf, he's got not only one in, maybe a few in, and maybe, you know, two of the top three choices in the race. And we saw one today, Rastafara, who's probably not one of his best runners, winning the risk-averse today at Saratoga. As far as your point of people going to the track, and I'll be quick on this, I think nowadays a lot of these tracks are much more interested in having people betting with their sites. You know, yes, you make the most, you make more money by people betting on track on your product, but it's way more important in the long run for Churchill Downs to have people betting with Twin Spires, for Gulfstream Park to be people betting with ExpressBet, for, you know, for Saratoga to people have Naira Bets accounts. So when they can't be at the track, at least they're betting through their apps and they're getting the bulk of the money. So they're promoting more of an online thing similar to sports wagering, because that's the way the world is going. And it's much more important for them to be signed up with their wagering platform than necessarily having them on track every now and then. Getting close to the end of the show, we want to go back to the phones. Drew in New York, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bobby. Real quick, I'm in the car driving up to Saratoga as we speak, and I'm thinking about something in my head, and maybe I'm crazy, maybe it's wild thought. Luis Saez, he's riding 10 races tomorrow. He's hopping on a plane. He's going to Charlestown. He's running the Classic, 10:15 at night. He's hopping back on the airplane. He's getting back to Saratoga for 11:30 a.m. post. He's in the first race. Do you think that's going to affect his riding on Saturday on the Travis Pod? I know he's a professional. I know they're well-trained, but that's got to affect him, no?
Well, from what I've seen, and thanks for your call, Drew, I appreciate it. From what I've seen, this does not usually affect the performances of the riders. We saw Joel Rosario do this within the last few weeks, flying across country to Del Mar to ride, then getting back to Saratoga and getting to the winner's circle, I think, with the first mount that he rode that day. So, you know what? These guys are in such phenomenal shape, and they're obviously most of them are younger than what we are. Not all of them. Most of them are. And you mentioned Luis Saez. He certainly is. You know, he's at the prime of his career. He's as fit as a fiddle. On adrenaline alone, he can get through the next day. He'll get his sleep in. These guys get power naps during the day. They can get a few Z's in the jocks room if they need to, or on the plane. They're used to this. It's not the first time they've done this. And you know what? If they couldn't handle it, the jockeys and their agents wouldn't be booking the mounts other parts of the country. So I wouldn't worry about it with Luis Saez. He's so good at what he does, and he's riding phenomenally right now. I think he'll be just fine. We're drawing close to the end here of the BristNet.com call-in show. We've talked a lot about what's going on at Saratoga this Saturday, talked a little bit about what's going on at Del Mar this Sunday. Boy, what a phenomenal renewal of the Shared Belief. $100,000 on the line for three-year-olds going a mile on their main track. Don't forget, this was a race that last year was a points race for the Kentucky Derby, of course, because the Kentucky Derby was run in September and not in May. Now, the Shared Belief, obviously not a points race, but what a field. Willie the Cobbler, Medina Spirit, Rock Your World, Team Merchants, the great one, Stiletto Boy, a short but very sweet field of six going 1 mile at Del Mar. Medina Spirit, of course, the winner of this year's Kentucky Derby. Rock Your World was in the Kentucky Derby. Didn't have the best racing luck. Didn't run very well. He also didn't run very well in the Belmont Stakes. Talk of him maybe going back to the turf where he's undefeated. That's where he started his career, 2-for-2 on the turf for trainer John Sadler. But we'll see how he does in the Shared Belief first. He probably is the biggest threat to Medina Spirit. Should be a fun renewal of the Shared Belief. That'll wrap it up for this week's edition of the BristNet.com call-in show. For producer Lee Delapina, I'm Bobby Newman. Don't forget, tomorrow, join us for Race Day, presented by Twin Spires, 3 to 6 Eastern Time here on HRRN, followed by the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, 6 to 7 p.m., and then Mike Penna and I will have live coverage from Charlestown of the Charlestown Oaks and the Charlestown Classic. It's all starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. Sirius 218, XM 201, and online at horseracingradio.net. Have a great Thursday night, everyone.